Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this first day of July 2016. Very nice to have you with us as we venture into a holiday weekend. We're very happy that you are with us, and we have a lot to discuss. We will get to that in just a moment. A reminder, you can be with us and comment and share your a piece of your mind with us by writing roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Let me welcome the panel to it.
Oh, good Lord.
Very nice, Alan. WAMC's Alan Chartok joins us. Good morning. All mic'd up and ready to go.
And happy, because I'm going to see Happy Traum at the Guthrie Center this very weekend.
Yay.
On Saturday night. Yay,
when
yay.
Is that? How do we get tickets for that? Is there a phone number?
413-528-1955. Remember 1955? Any of you around in 1955?
Absolutely.
all right, so 413-528-1955.
Yep.
All right, got that, Ray?
Who's playing?
The great Happy Traum.
Ah, the great one.
The best of the post-Pete Seeger folk singers of all time.
So he's an acoustic performer.
He's great on the guitar, but okay. He's also a great singer, knows all the great songs.
Yeah? Could you name a few?
Yeah, you know, times are getting hard, boys. Money's getting scarce. Times don't get no better, boys. Gonna leave this place.
Don't know that one. Took my something from my hand. That's one of my... It's a Zappa song, I think, as a matter of fact.
Have a great time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to. Roselle's deserted me. She's going to see Bob Dylan at Tanglewood. I said, how can you make that choice?
Well... Really, you know.
I don't know.
Yeah, six of one, half dozen of another, right? Mavis Staples also, though.
Oh, now that's a show
now
to
that's
see.
That's it right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. yeah. Where's that going to be?
Oh, Tanglewood. She's opening for
Mavis Staples
Dylan.
At Tanglewood?
Yeah, with Dylan.
Oh, Tanglewood. Really?
Yeah.
So good singer and then a bad singer. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, that's why God made intermission.
Pretty funny.
Barbara Smith is with us, author, activist, and we are thrilled to have her with us each and every Friday. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning to you.
Very nice to have you.
But not to me. Good morning to you, but not to me.
You is a collective pronoun.
Oh, collectivized.
Yeah, it is.
Sort of communistic.
Yeah.
I think you meant to the audience as a whole,
and
right?
everybody, yes.
Yeah.
Anybody who...
Merry Christmas.
Who's a you?
We keep this up a little longer, the show will be over.
And WAMC's Ray Graff. Good morning, Raymond.
Good morning, Joseph.
Uncle Grumpy himself.
I'm going to OTB this weekend, if anyone would like to join me. No, I'm not.
I'll see you there,
okay,
my friend.
Okay, all
see
right.
You there.
All made right. Made of hearts in the third.
Let's talk about...
Or as Cuomo used to say, the sixth horse in the sixth race. Or the fifth horse in the fifth race, he used to say. They say, you're going to bet on the fifth horse in the fifth race.
That was his system, I take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Barbara.
All right.
Don't you know?
It's going to be horrible having that extra day off on Monday, isn't it?
Oh, we got a day off?
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know.
No, yeah, we're not here
okay.
on Monday. Yeah. It's the 4th of July, don't you know?
No, Monday is not the problem. The problem for all of us who didn't figure on this is we had a choice of going to Tanglewood on the 3rd or the 4th, for JT. And Roselle, in her wisdom, chose the 4th. You know, fireworks and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it. You're talking to somebody who gets up at 2:30 every morning. So Tuesday is not a holiday. So we chose wrong.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Don't you see?
Can mm-hmm. I just suggest that you don't get up at 2:30 in the morning and then maybe it'll be all right?
Part of my chromosomes. The Chartoks were picking potatoes and the Russian steppes at 2:30 in the morning. I know this.
You get out of your coffin and then by daybreak, you're back in, right?
All right. Are you ready to start a show, ladies and gentlemen?
I thought we started it.
No. let's talk about the story that keeps on giving, and that is an airport encounter this week between Attorney General Loretta Lynch and former President Bill Clinton. This is this started with sort of a murmur, a little, and now has really developed into a political storm, with Republicans asserting that it has compromised the Justice Department's politically sensitive investigation into Hillary Clinton's email practices while she was Secretary of State. The Obama administration declined to say on Thursday whether the meeting between Ms. Lynch or Mr. Clinton and Mr. Clinton, excuse me, in Phoenix on Monday night was appropriate. The press secretary, Josh Earnest, said that the investigation of Mrs. Clinton would be free of political influence and that he would leave it to the attorney general to explain the meeting. Ms. Lynch said the meeting with Mr. Clinton was unplanned, largely social, and did not touch on the email investigation. She suggested that he walked uninvited from his plane to her government plane. You can do this when you have Secret Service protection, which were both parked on a tarmac at Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport. He did come over. He said hello, speak to my husband and myself, and talk about his grandchildren and his travels and things like that, Ms. Lynch said at a news conference in Los Angeles on Wednesday, where she was promoting community policing. That was the extent of that, and no discussions were held in any cases or things like that, although Republican lawmakers still very upset and say that the meeting raised questions about the integrity of the government's investigation.
Wasn't he the same guy who had the haircut on the tarmac?
Yes.
Oh, just thought, you know, he does strange things on the tarmac. He kept everybody in the airport waiting. Do you remember that?
Vaguely,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It was a very expensive haircut, too, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah, get ready. He should not have done it. He shouldn't have done it. Why would you do it? It just gives ammunition to the other guys. The Justice Department came out this very morning. Or her press secretary came out and said she would defer to the FBI as to whether or not to indict. That's what they said. In other words, she's not going to make that decision. She's leaving that to the FBI, she said.
Yeah. So then it makes less of a difference or more of a difference?
Well, I think I don't think they would have come out and said that today if they didn't think they had a little problem here. Ray, you look like you're the mongoose looking in the snake's eyes. What's going on?
No, not at all. I wonder, A, how he knew that it was her plane next to his, and B, sure. I mean, if there is the chance of a appearance of impropriety, then you got to...
Don't do it.
Or else she has to back away from that particular investigation, whether anything was said or not.
Well, and when Ms. Lynch said that it was largely social, that's a little bit of a problem.
She did say that she did not discuss the investigation.
This investigation. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, if Hillary isn't the candidate, then it's going to be Joe Biden.
Are you saying that you think it could go that way?
No. But, you know, if it did, I think Hillary's got it. I think she's going to be the candidate, and I don't think they're going to indict, you know, Hillary Clinton.
Because she's Hillary Clinton?
No, because I don't think there's probably enough information there that makes a difference. So we've seen all of these reports and everything else. So, no, I don't think so. I also don't think that Bill Clinton should have taken his walk.
I would agree with that, but I don't think he's known for impulse control. So he's
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know what I mean by that. He's not known for impulse control. So yeah. He also, I think, is very much an extrovert and loves to interact with people. I don't know how he knew she was on that plane. I think that's a really good question.
I assume if
high level.
They both have security, mm-hmm. and you're parked in a certain place in the airport, and they say, oh, you know, there's the security.
Oh, whose plane is
the
that?
The Attorney General's plane is next to ours.
So it wasn't like a U.S. Air flight was just over there on the tarmac.
No, it wouldn't be a U.S. Air flight since that airline doesn't fly anymore.
Oh, really? What about Allegheny?
gone.
Mohawk? Piedmont.
Gone.
I don't fly much.
Okay, so,
if you were a little lighter, you would.
One of these days. Bang, zoom, to the moon!
But here's the point.
Yes?
Don't you think that Hillary Clinton has got to have this investigation in her mind somewhere. And don't you think it's easy enough for people to project into this kind of thing that Bill and Hillary talk to each other? And don't you think, you know, that we spouses, I avoided that trap, we spouses like to make sure that we protect our other spouse. And maybe this was just that. You know, you get a little extra if you walk over to the plane. Who knows? You're looking puzzled, Barbara.
Who gets a little extra?
She does, in terms of this investigation, if he makes nice to the Attorney General.
That's wrong.
What's wrong?
You're not wrong in what you're saying. What I'm saying is that
wrong.
If that was his motivation, that's really a wrong way to be thinking about
it. It's not really whether it was his motivation. Mm-hmm. It is what people will think was his motivation.
There are people who think it was really absolutely unacceptable. So
now, if Rosemary were here, but she's not, she'd be screaming at me, you know, that Hillary is a paragon of virtue, and therefore this whole thing is just more made-up Republican garbage. But you don't give them the opportunity to do this to
you. Well, Democrats are also saying, well, this is a little sketchy, right? It was toward the end of the New York Times piece.
You read that?
Senator Chris Coons of Delaware.
Yeah.
I do agree with you that it doesn't send the right signal. He said that yesterday. Ms. Lynch, he says, has generally shown excellent judgment and strong leadership of the department, and I'm convinced that she's an independent attorney general, but I do think that this meeting sends the wrong signal, and I don't think it sends the right signal.
Okay, let's project into this. You are Ms. Lynch, and you hear that the past president of the United States wants to walk over to your plane, just say hello.
What do you do?
What do you do? You say no?
See, that's the other thing. I did think about it from her point of view. Yeah. I mean, she was kind of in a situation where there weren't great,
great
options.
Please, it wouldn't be correct for you to come. Now, in retrospect, I'll bet she thinks she should have said that.
Also, if you were at the Washington Hilton and there were two gatherings taking place, or they were at the airport and they were walking through and they had a chance, would we be talking about this?
Mm. Well, those encounters might not be quite as long as this one apparently was. So. Yeah. But the thing is, the thing is, they did kind of run into somebody, each other. But the thing is, it was via planes and willful acts of walking to one, one to the other.
So. I know. But I guess, if it was just sort of a regular, if you just step into a room and have a meeting and talk for a little bit, I don't know. I don't know if we'd be making as much about it as we are about the whole plane
thing. The point is, it's a very close presidential election. The well-known Republican Rasmussen poll this very morning, has Trump leading Hillary. You don't make mistakes. These are professional people. Don't make mistakes. Don't walk into a buzzsaw if you can avoid it. I mean, look, you know who I'm going to vote for. It ain't going to be Trump. But the fact of the matter is, it was a mistake.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this. We'll get some letters, and we welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Jeremiah Productions, presenting Second Coming, a play with music about the Shaker ministry of Mother Ann Lee, July 5th through 17th and July 22nd through 24th at the Shaker Meeting House in Colony. SecondComingPlay.com. Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space, with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation, Facebook, Twitter, or albanymarriott.com. Evoke Style in Stuyvesant Plaza, offering curated women's fashion from designers such as Marc Ariel, Michael Stars, and Alan Bika of Tel Aviv, evokestyle.com. And Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community. Berkshire.coop.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Let us get some letters on the Bill Clinton, Loretta Lynch meeting.
Okay. Nancy says, once again, Hillary pays for Bill's ignorance. It wasn't her. I can only imagine that conversation when she found out about it. Well, you just don't know these things. I mean, we don't know that, right?
We do not know that categorically.
Husband and wives talk to each other, right? Don't they? Some do.
So
that's a very good point. John says, Bill Clinton must have known what would happen. What are the implications of him doing this on purpose? Oh, I don't think that's fair.
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah. Well, I take it for granted that on political things, these two have been a couple for a long time. And my bet is that Hillary, I know I would be, is a little bit concerned about this ongoing, you know, FBI stuff.
Yeah.
So therefore, Bill takes his walk, you know, ex-president and all like that. Okay, so then Denise says, I'm tired of WAMC promoting made-up Republican outrages. You do yourselves no justice by buying into conspiracy theory. Who's buying into conspiracy theory? It's in the New York Times.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Noted right-wing newspaper.
Oh, please. Ann says, no, that's Ann announcing an underwriting buy. And then Barry says, what about discussing whether Lynch violated a Justice Department ethics regulation? How can you discuss this topic without addressing this issue? Journalism become nothing but opinions without research, facts, and substance, says Barry. Then Jamie says, who tells the next president who we can talk to? And this, again, is much ado about nothing. Do you think anyone but the press is concerned? Also, the press more upset about the event, or that the public, once again, does not care that the press is upset? And Jay says, panel. The headline, the subject line, I think it's important in this case. Bill Clinton and the AG, hyphen, Alan's right. Panel. Correct. He should not have done this. I thought he was a bit brighter than to jeopardize the Hillary campaign. Of course, he could have just called the AG on a phone privately and accomplished whatever he is suspected of, so that the Republican clamor is just that clamor. Have a happy fourth. And that's Jim. And haircut on the tarmac was John Edwards. Is that right?
No. There was also that, but the haircut took place in 1993. It was in the first year of the Clinton administration. He was in L.A. I think the guy's name was Christo or Christoph or something like that. He was a famous
magician.
No, it was a famous hairstylist, and Barbara was right. It cost like $200-$300, and that was the controversy.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. So then Bill needs a minder. Bill Clinton needs a very bossy minder with a special phone that rings directly to HRC campaign. Mr. President, you have a call. Also, perhaps one of those electrical zapping collars.
Nice.
Robert says, she's A.G. Lynch. She's reported today saying she will not overrule. I said that already. Where you been? Decision of the FBI on whether to bring charges. Okay. And Kermit says, President Obama should demand Loretta Lynch's resignation immediately. The appearance of impropriety is unacceptable.
So Bill Clinton walks across the tarmac to her plane. She's in the an enviable position of having to figure out, do I tell him he can't come on to the plane?
Yeah.
It's a former president of the United States, yeah. Or do I let him on the plane and unleash the hounds? Now,
well, all right, we're going to pause you there because we have to take a break, but we'll be back. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Shartok, Barbara Smith, and Ray Graff making up the group this morning. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter on Thursday removed one of the final barriers to military service by lifting the Pentagon's ban on transgender people serving openly in the armed forces. Effective immediately, transgender Americans may serve openly. Mr. Carter said they can no longer be discharged or otherwise separated from the military just for being transgender. The decision pushes forward a transformation of the military that Mr. Carter has accelerated in the last year with the opening of all combat roles to women and the appointment of the first openly gay Army secretary. He made his feelings on ending the transgender ban clear last year when he called it outdated and ordered officials across the military to begin examining what would need to be done to lift that ban.
It's good. It made me, that's an understatement. It made me think immediately, though, about the desegregation, racial desegregation of the armed forces right after shortly after World War II,
yes.
That President Harry Truman did, and how that predated the civil rights era. So in some ways, you know, the armed services have often, or at least historically, been on the cutting edge of social justice and change. Which I think is, as I said, it's very positive.
Yes.
No, I have nothing.
Oh, okay.
I'm with Barbara.
All right. One of the things that I thought was interesting in this article is that of how many transgender people there are in the military, of thousands of people who have been really shrouded in secrecy to avoid being discharged. And so obviously this changes that, much as it did when they also changed the ruling on gays and lesbians and bisexuals serving and doing away with the don't ask, don't tell policy, which goes back to 2011.
Well, my question, and I really am frightfully unprepared for this conversation, I'll be honest with you, Barbara, but maybe you can help me. We are now having a big discussion in the New York City Police Department whether or not people can have a beard, you know, following their religious principles and stuff like that. This is going on right now. So transgender, it seems to me, is not the issue. If you're transgender and you obey the regulations and you look, submit to the discipline that the Army has, there'd be no problem, right?
Except for people's transphobia.
No. I'm not talking about transphobia. Mm-hmm. I'm just simply saying, why wouldn't you say, okay, you're a human being. You know, you're going to be a soldier. You're going to fire a rifle. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And we expect that of you. But is there anything you can foresee that would be be offensive to the military once they Ash Carter passes this new rule?
Well, and I still answer, except for transphobia. You're serving with people who have those kinds of issues.
Yeah,
you're serving with people who have issues around the fact that we have a really diverse human population, including in the military, then there might be problems. There was someone who was interviewed in this article who said that it went to the question of readiness, and I'm not sure what that even means. I thought readiness meant like if you have to go into battle, you're supposed to be able to do that quickly. I don't even know.
Which I think that is what that means.
So this person said that they had a concern about that.
Right, and studies have concluded that lifting the ban is unlikely to have any appreciable effect on the readiness of the armed forces.
Well, according to the RAND study, and we heard 15,000 as an estimate of the numbers of transgender people in the military. Yes. 15,000 yesterday. 2,400, according to the most widely accepted estimate. So I don't understand how that could affect readiness in any way. I mean, it's a very small number.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. This is what this person says. And Representative Mac Thornberry of Texas, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, released a statement saying he would examine, quote, legislative options to address the readiness issues associated with this new policy, end quote. Quote, our military readiness and hence our national security is dependent on our troops being medically ready and deployable, end quote, Mr. Thornberry said. Hmm. The administration seems unwilling or unable to assure the Congress and the American people that transgender individuals will meet these individual readiness requirements at a time when our armed forces are deployed around the world, end quote. So if you break your leg and you're serving, obviously you can't go into battle, right? What's the difference?
Do you see, no matter how you identify, you're going to have a broken leg in that case.
Or what I'm saying, I think what he's talking about is you're going, if you're doing your transition, you know, steps.
Yes.
While you're in the military, you might be taking time off because of the medical procedures that you're involved with. As a person who's transitioning, I think that's what he's saying. I'm trying to read between the lines.
But that would have anything to do with anybody who was going through any sort of medical.
Well, then that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you break you don't plan to break your leg. You break your leg,
right.
All of a sudden, then you can't be, you know, on active duty. I just don't get it.
But we made the same argument about women and childbirth and being in the military and readiness, right? And I mean, it's so.
Yeah, I think it's a red herring. But I do want to say that I think it would be really important to have the voices of people in our transgender community addressing this because I'm ill-equipped to do so, actually.
Right, and me too. But one of the things that occurs to me is that this guy's from Texas. The chairman of the committee is from Texas, and you know he doesn't think this is going to be wildly popular with his constituents, and he does what's expected of him to keep his constituents happy. I mean, that's what I suspect is going on. You're nodding your head.
You, no, I'm shaking my head. I'm shaking my head in despair.
Yeah, exactly. well, exactly. Yeah.
Do you have anything, right?
No? Well, I think that the critics of this, one thing they will point to is that Ashton Carter said the Pentagon would cover the medical costs of those in uniform who are seeking to undergo gender transition. Mm-hmm. So I would see people who are critics of this idea say, look, the military budget's already strained, and we're going to pay for this. I can see it coming.
Yeah, well, no, I think you have a point. I think people will say that.
Oh, and when I said I was ill-equipped, I'm not ill-equipped as an ally, but I am ill-equipped to speak for the community.
Right.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to some letters, and then we will move on to other topics, because we have a few of those as well.
John says, it is trans folk in the Army. It is not uncommon for male to female trans women, prior to coming out to themselves, will go to the military in an attempt to make themselves, quote, real men. So there might be more trans folk in the military than we think. Matt Mann says, trans readiness, and he's being funny, of course, and says, well, I have to apply my makeup. Trying to be funny.
Yeah. No, yes.
trying to be
not funny.
Yeah,
didn't quite
well,
care
no,
for that.
No, of course
nope.
not. No place for that. And Patrick and Ethna say, I think Attorney General Lynch should come out of her plane, shaken Bill's hand, and then gone back to her plane. There would still have been a blowback, but it would not have been the same level as occurred with this half-hour meeting. Patrick. All right. Larry says, the Clintons and President Obama, for that matter, always seem to be under a microscope. Everything has to be perfect. No mistakes, no missteps, no errors. Mr. Trump, on the other hand, sees me say whatever he wants, exaggerate constantly on a daily, almost hourly basis, and he often gets away with it. Is this not a double standard? All right, Nan says, Bill and Bernie. Please spend as much time on Bernie Sanders not releasing his tax returns. He is still running, as you do on Bill Clinton, seemingly messing up. As one writer said quite logically, he could have called it if he wanted to influence her. He could have called if he wanted to influence her. Ms. Lynch has recused herself. This is a non-issue, period. Seems like it's worth a discussion, but not to this extent. The thing Obama, Hillary, and Jews have in common, everything is our fault. Bernie, where are your tax returns? That's from Nan.
He never released his tax returns, huh?
I think that's
one
right.
year. I think just last year's the most recent return.
Yeah,
that was a few months ago. But not the big, you know, global.
The
kind
5 or 10 year
yeah,
back
that
or whatever
most,
it is. Yeah,
candidates for major office do.
Yeah. Okay. Gregory says, panel, this move by Clinton just proves how out of touch these millionaires and billionaires are. They think they can do anything they want, butting up to the tarmac. What a joke. Tell Bill he can't come on the plane and do your job. And I'm reading these letters because, not because I approve of all of them, obviously, but because it's important for everybody to know what the level of dissonance is out there.
Not
on
to
issues.
Defend Clinton overly, but yeah. In addition to being a millionaire, he was a president. You know.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, the thing is, I'm going to say this. I believe because Loretta Lynch is an incredibly intelligent, extremely well educated, and highly capable, you know, professional, and she also was probably very well raised. And it was just that, you know, politeness could also kick in. Who knows?
Sure.
You know, I mean,
yeah. Well,
I think you make the point. If the president comes, a former president comes
right
knocking
the door
on
here.
The door,
yeah.
you're gonna open up the door and answer it and,
yeah.
and
well, we would
welcome in.
We would, but of course, we don't have a case pending. Although somebody would call up and say, see,
yeah,
that's why you guys are always shilling for the Clintons. Don't you see?
I'm just mystified.
Okay. Clinton haircut.
Don't worry, it'll be over in 15 minutes.
Clinton haircut. The rest of the story and the controversy at the time, Joe, is he tied up the section of the airport tarmac
that's
where
right.
Air Force One was when he got his coiffure. Causing other people in other planes to be delayed and inconvenienced. That's Len from Niskayuna.
Yeah, shut down the airport for a good long time. It was very annoying.
I like the panel, says Bernie. Good morning, Alan from Burnt Hills. I like the panel's opinion, especially Ray's, you grump. I don't think I'm voting this year, and I'm grief-stricken because of it, but there's nothing for me out there with respect to the candidates. Trump is not an option. The Libertarians want to extinguish entitlements. Jill Stein's great, but there's no chance, and Hillary is less than impressive. It's odd, but it might come down to who she picks for VP. I need some
guidance.
I think
that's a great question. Given the negatives for both Trump and Hillary Clinton, VP is huge.
Okay. And
which we'll get to in a second. Two names on the Trump.
I should follow along.
Yeah, that's
give me
right.
a scorecard.
Okay. Well, actually, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll hit
all
that.
Right. All right.
We'll break, and then we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from MKC Kitchen and Bath Center, Troy, offering a range of cabinetry, including medallion cabinetry countertops, design services, and showroom, mkckitchens.com. Clipcentric Albany, a local video services division of Clipcentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV, albany.clipcentric.com. Williamstown Theater Festival, Williamstown, Massachusetts, presenting Wendell Pierce in Cost of Living, a new play by Martina Majok, directed by Joe Bonney on the Nico stage, WTFestival.org. And the New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, celebrating 35 years serving the public, 800-342-3661.
Donald Trump's campaign has begun formally vetting possible running mates, with former House Speaker Newt Gingrich emerging as the leading candidate, followed by New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. But there are more than a half dozen others being discussed as possibilities, according to several people with knowledge of the process. This, as the Republican National Convention is just a little over 2 weeks away. So this decision will be coming, and it'll be coming soon.
Jeez, 2 weeks. That's
two
amazing.
Weeks.
Really?
And given Trump's unpredictability, campaign associates caution that the presumptive Republican nominee could still shake up his short list and really could be whoever he wants.
Yeah.
Well, sure, but remember,
that's how that works, right?
I was in an airport and I'm looking up and the thing comes off CNN that Sarah Palin has been, you know, has been chosen to be McCain?
Oh, McCain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
McCain's VP. And I had no idea who the hell she was.
Well, no, yeah. Also, and she wasn't on any of the lists. And it was like, you know, an owl flew into the airport. Who?
Yeah.
You don't know who that is.
Yeah, right.
So it could be, yeah. But the two names that are coming to the front, and Christie's been there for a long time, but both Christie and Newt Gingrich. Any thoughts on those two gentlemen?
Well, you know, let's see how good our memories are here. Seems to me that, you know, that the governor of New Jersey Christie has a little bit of a Bridgegate problem. Right. So I think the Democrats will all be walking around with little bridges on their lapels to remind everybody of what happened.
Yeah.
And Gingrich, didn't Gingrich do something terrible with his wife? He's divorcing or something like that.
I believe he faxed his divorce to her
in the hospital
while she was dying of cancer.
Oh, boy.
Or I don't know if she was dying, but she was receiving cancer treatment.
Yeah.
And she got the fax. The nurses came in with the fax.
The fax of life,
wow.
If you will. Yes.
Oh, my God. Terrible. Well, surely.
I don't know. Do you judge him on his
I don't know what
political...
to judge. I don't know what to judge.
I don't know on that.
I don't know what to judge Trump on at all. All I know, and everybody seems to be disagreeing with me about this, the guy has half of America in every poll voting for him. With all that we know about him, with everything that's been held against him, this doesn't stop. Now you have the Rasmussen poll, as I say, a good Republican poll, out this very morning, talking about how he's now beating Clinton. Now not on all the other polls, but you know, this is close. Half this country is going to vote for the guy,
and that's what people are saying. Given the number of unforced errors that he makes on a regular basis, why isn't the gap bigger? So this is a close race.
Sociologically, it tells you more about America than you may want to know.
And not the candidates. I think it's the same as Brexit. People have just had enough of the government in general.
You may be right. And by the way, just so we all remember this little political science-y kind of thing, and that it's very unusual to have a party that has been in the presidency for two times to have it a third.
That's correct.
And there may be some of that. And that sort of ancillary to your corollary.
You have a doctorate.
Whatever your name is, Ray.
Yeah.
They don't like the people who are running everything, and therefore this is just a chance to say no.
Yeah.
Well, what do we In either case, does this could it help or hurt? I mean, I don't know that
that's
either
a very
of
good
these choices.
The VP choice?
Yeah,
no, that's a very good.
A good choice would help.
Well,
it also help Hillary.
Here's why Gingrich becomes very attractive, because Trump is going to say, "I don't know anything about government," and here's a guy who has, you know, basically been the speaker. He knows about government.
And he shut it down.
What'd you say?
He shut it down.
Yeah, and that made it. That
well,
was,
he has conservative bona fides too. And I think Trump really doesn't.
Yeah, but does that, I mean, what does it do if you have conservative bona fides? Does it bring all those people back? There's a poll out this morning that shows the Libertarians doing extremely well. And I think I have a feeling there's a lot of there's a lot of Republicans who are going to be voting Libertarian this year. Many more, I think, by the way, than going over to Jill Stein on the Green Party from the Democrats. So so maybe you're right. Maybe that's what he's thinking. You know, he gets a conservative with conservative bona fides, and that will help.
I still don't believe it'll be Gingrich.
Yeah. What do you think it'll
be? Nor Christie. I don't know. I mean, again, as Joe said, it could be somebody he just happens to see.
Well, it has to be somebody who can run the government.
The other thing, too, is that the on the, I believe it was on the NewsHour last night, there was a one of the speakers that they had made this point, which was it's not so much who he will get, it's who will say yes. That there seems to be a lot of people that are on the list that don't have any interest in running with him.
Well, that's what they say now. And there certainly are many of the established candidates, Joe. But on the other hand, this is a heartbeat away from the presidency.
But if you're Jeff Sessions or if you're
Corker,
yeah. And you look at the current polling and you think of how divided this, how polarizing this candidate can be, and also what a, you know, how unpredictable he can be, do you want in on that for your political career?
To be as close to the presidency as a heartbeat? Yes, you do. And I think there's an awful lot of these people who are hypocritical enough to say, you know, I could be the president of the United States. It could be on my tombstone when it's all over. It will be in my obituary. And this is the only way I'm ever going to get there. Who knew Harry Truman? No one. And here he was. He turns out to be a great president, of course, although they booed him in the movie theaters. I remember that very well. Roosevelt wanted him because he wasn't the other guys. He took it. He was not an educated man. And he did a superb job.
Let us move to our final story, which is for those of us who followed this case, I don't know how many of those are in this room? But I'll going to get no. Okay,
I knew nothing about it.
All right. So Adnan Syed of the Serial podcast fame is getting a new trial. The judge in Maryland has granted the trial to Adnan Syed, setting aside his conviction for the 1999 murder of his former girlfriend in a case that was the subject of the first season of the hit podcast Serial. Mr. Syed's lawyer, C. Justin Brown, posted the news on Twitter on Thursday afternoon and confirmed by phone that the motion for a new trial has been granted by Judge Martin Welch of the Baltimore City Court, Circuit Court. The decision to grant Mr. Syed, who's now 35, a retrial was a major victory for an inmate who has long maintained his innocence and has exhausted all other avenues of appeal. He was convicted in 2000 in the murder of his former girlfriend, Haman Lee, and served 16 years of a life sentence.
And the reason that the judge is granting this is that old thing about, you know, your defense wasn't good enough during this, and they should have looked really carefully at the cross-examined on the issue of cell phones and cell towers and the rest of it. I'm also interested in an ancillary question, Joe, and that is, wow, we start talking about radio. We're in the radio business here and TV, And here's this podcast thing, which is listened to by millions of people. And at least some people will say that this is the look of the future. We think so. We're doing a lot more podcasting here at WAMC. The BBC does a huge amount of it that never gets on their regular airwaves. And some people will suspect that the judge is paying some attention to the amount of legitimacy that this has brought.
Well, I think it has more to do with the fact that what it did do with 100 million people listening or through 100 million downloads, which is just unbelievable, is that people started to come forward, people that they were looking for in the case, people who had things to say about the case because it gained such attention. And so the cell phone records that they were unable to obtain, suddenly they were able to obtain them. And some things that they were unable to actually pin down, was there a payphone in that Best Buy lobby? Well, you know, and now because people came forward and so many people heard it, they were able to prove these various things. So a lot more information came forward, and I think that was one of the reasons for the trial. And also, I mean, it was one of the things that was clear in the original podcast was that here was a the question of is he guilty or not, I don't know. The question of do they have enough evidence to put him in jail for the rest of his life, it certainly seemed not.
And think of all the people who are incarcerated who don't have this thing going for them.
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, we have things like the Innocence Project and other kinds of entities that are trying to return to these cases.
Which, by the way, mm-hmm. we should point out that, mm-hmm. yes, it was a podcast, but also Sanford and law and several other law projects and innocent projects were part of this, too, working overtime, working with the producers of the program, going over the evidence. And after the podcast long went off the air, their work continued. So,
yes, but then you ask yourself, if they hadn't participated, Serial hadn't participated, would the other guys have reached this point?
Oh no, I think that's true, but it is certainly one of those things where the case had been on the radar for a little while, which is how it came to Serial's attention in the first place. But it's it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Okay.
All right, let's go to some letters.
Okay, Margaret, who quite frequently can be critical, said Harry Truman. FDR did not want Harry Truman. The Southern Democrats did not want Henry Welts. That's all true. Truman was a big mistake. And then see Japan, August 1945, the Cold War, something that would have not happened under Wallace if FDR had lived. Some people are still fighting the Henry Wallace, fight back from the day. On the other hand, Margaret, I would point out to you, and I hope it doesn't come across as mean or mean-spirited, but I would point out to you that Harry Truman did pick him, whether he wanted him or not, he picked him, and it was his choice, and Roosevelt was famous for playing them all off against each other, and anybody who's read enough about that knows it. Okay, did I hear someone say they would not vote this year? This is such an important year to vote if you are a progressive. Jill Stein just worked so hard to get her name on the Illinois ballot, and she did that. All right. And Rich says, look at the past VP picks. The Republicans have made crazed picks. Pick any year the Democrats made picks to please the conservative wing, Truman, or Togged a State, LBJ. Both were bad decisions. All right, whatever.
All right. Probably should stop there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We're out of time. Alan and Barbara and Ray, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Hope you all have a lovely holiday weekend. We'll be back with more show after this.